pantalon.
Why? How did you string all of those together? Good morning.
Good morning.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here.
And how's Fifi morning. This morning?
He is fantastic. In fact, he was asleep when I left, but he was, you know, his usual, you know, conquering self. Hey, last night.
That young man.
Yes, yes.
I still remember the first time I met him. he came around. He was very little, right?
Yeah.
And he was sharing candies.
Yeah.
And then he gave me one. And I said, oh, can I have another one? He said, no, you can't. You have one and you should be saying thank you other than asking for another one.
That's right.
Miss really.
That's right.
And then I think some years ago we had a conversation, a similar conversation, and you mentioned that if you would be stuck anywhere in the world, you would rather it is with him.
Yeah.
It tells the bond that you have with him.
He's just my favorite person.
I know,
world.
Right? I see. I mean, when you post pictures of you and him, I'm like, hey, Zangofi, omujomu nipao. But anyway, you're welcome.
Thank you.
And this morning, we're simply having a conversation on what fatherhood means to you. We're still expecting Ochami Kwame. Hopefully, he joins us. But let me start by asking, and you know, you can join this conversation on 0055 111 1997. That's on WhatsApp, and then we will try to activate the phone lines on 0302216541. There you're also able to call to contribute to the conversation and send your wishes across. So you can put those numbers on speed dial already, send your messages, we'll read them out, and then what you think about the subjects we're having. You know, when I started, I mentioned that formally, I mean, some years ago, when Father's Day is approaching and we're planning conversations, we're thinking about forgiveness. And usually it cuts across the space. If you're listening, everybody is having a conversation sort of on forgive your father, mend the relationship and all that. But where I sit now, I think that the narrative has changed. What do you guys think? George, I'll start with you.
Definitely. I mean, being a father has become very cool.
Has become really cool.
Very cool.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it has its challenges. It's still difficult. And for me, the difficulty is not really in the hands of the fathers, because you're just a steward. You can do everything in your power as a father to raise a good kid. At the end of the day, what the kid becomes might not totally be in your control. That is just prayer. You know. So I do agree when you say the narrative has changed. Fathers have become a bit more, should I say, not a bit more. Fathers have become a lot more responsible these days. And I think it's just a matter of the times that we're in. I mean, when we were growing up, the concept was different. The father was like the head of the household. You know, Wayangkwana, he is the one that gets the biggest meat. He's the one that served first. He's the one that eats first. When daddy hasn't eaten, nobody else eats and all that. You know, when there's no food in the house, the first person we have to take care of is the father and all that. You know, the responsibility pendulum has shifted a little bit. You know, the narrative has changed a little bit. And these days, and unlike, you know, in those days, fathers weren't really in the lives of their children. Look, I keep sharing a story where I recall my school once said, look, if your parents were not going to attend the PTA and stuff, we're going to fine them. You know, they were going to pay a fine. So I went home and I told my dad, you know what he said? Yeah, I'm going to find any. Go and ask them to find my money. You paid advance.
Oh, dear Lord.
Because
he's not going.
He doesn't have the time.
Oh, dear. You
know? I mean, my dad never saw me on stage. My mom saw me on stage once. My dad watched me on TV maybe once or twice.
Wow.
Not that he didn't want to, he just didn't have the time to. But these days, despite everything, fathers are making time, you know. So I think the narrative has changed. And it's getting better.
We thank God.
It's getting better.
Kojo and I had this conversation. I think we did the show before the show. And we had some very interesting conversation, some interesting thoughts he shared, just in the line of what you're saying. But then I think, Kojo, that from what George said, back then, I'm not looking at the fathers of today. The many things that young men of today have to do, the expectations, I'm not sure if it was then at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure. I wasn't there. But I'm looking at, I'm even looking at my husband and the many things that he has to do now and comparing it to what I saw my father do. And I think that he has a lot more on his hands now than then, you know. But then, regardless, I think, and you know, we mentioned that we're not concerned with the ones who don't want to be fathers. People like you who still want to be fathers. There's so much on your plate, but I think that you guys are doing so much. What has changed?
You know, the only constant in life is change, right? I think if you trace civilization all the way back to the beginning, you realize that the men and women, our roles have been changing throughout time. I mean, back when we lived in caves, men, our job was just to stand at the entrance and make sure no animals come in to, you know, attack. We had to go out and hunt and find food, come back so that, you know, everybody in the cave will be fed. Literally, just by nature of our bigger, taller, stronger stature, a role was assigned to us. And that was what we did. And we carried out that role through centuries. It became part of the DNA, the DNA coding that we pass on to our sons, that your job is to provide and to protect. Yeah. And that continued on and on and on until quite recently, perhaps the First World War, when the whole world was engaged in one dispute, one battle, and all the men from all civilization were being sent there. So the things that men were doing at home to stand in front of the cave and protect, women had to suddenly step up and do those things. Mm. So they had to go into the factories and they had to go and start doing the driving and all the things that typically in the past were, you know, taken for granted that men would do them. And women would stay at home and raise kids. Suddenly, it was important for women to do a lot of the things men have been doing. So they came out and they did it and did it well. Suddenly, these men finished fighting and came home. And they wanted to send these women back to come and take over what they were doing before. Mm-hmm. That was certainly not going to happen. Yeah. So we had this feminism movement that had to begin at that time to ensure that women were not prevented from doing things they were obviously good at.
Mm.
So suddenly the roles started shifting. Now, men who had been passing the DNA coding on from one son to another, telling them, you must provide and protect, suddenly find themselves with the only skill they have being to provide and protect.
Yeah.
But they are trying to provide and protect for a woman who wants to provide and protect for herself. So men felt a little bit lost.
Children as well.
Yeah, men have felt a little bit lost. But what happened? Eventually, we all came to agree that that's the way forward. So we said, okay, fine. If that's what you want to do, that's good. Please, you are capable. Do it. So we will be a little bit more of what we thought women should be. You can be a little bit more of what men have been. Then the roles kept changing. So this is what you see reflected in the role of fatherhood today. That instead of it being the man who goes to work, comes home, hardly ever sees the kids, checks their test results at the end of the term and says, do better, pays all the school fees, and is missing. Today, men understand that as a father, if you really want your child to have any kind of appreciation for what you do, you'd better be there. Now, it's weird. I mean, I feel bad for our fathers because God knows they broke their backs
to make things happen. They
worked miracles.
Yeah.
And I talked about this yesterday in the morning. I said, look, when it's a week to reopening school, I would come home and there would be school uniforms, sets of three of everything on my bed. My trunk is cleaned out, all the dents have been fixed, repainted, my chop box is full, and I have no idea
how it happened.
All I do is I the day before I go to school, I come to him and I say, oh, this is a list of books And you say, I'll take care of it. Exactly. Mm. That's all. I'll take care of it. And the man would take care of it. I had no idea how. In fact, it didn't even seem wonderful.
Like it was.
After all, that's his job.
Of course.
But if I'm hungry and my mother cooks my favorite meal for me.
Oh.
Christmas.
She's an angel. If I'm sick and my mother puts a cold towel on my head, I'm the luckiest boy in the world.
Oh.
If I'm sad and my mother gives me a hug, I feel the most privileged child ever.
Mm.
Everything my mother did was a miracle. It was never, oh, she's just doing her job. And of course, she would remind me every chance she gets.
Because those were done with a lot of emotions.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, is that it?
Well, but
it's still just her job. It's just her job. She'll remind me at least 3 times a week, because I was a stubborn child, that she carried me for 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
Another miracle.
Leave us alone.
Everything my mother did was a miracle.
Yeah,
so everything my father did was just his duty.
Just his job.
Oh.
I never saw the miracle of it until I became a father. Right? So, wow. Look, it's true. The roles have changed over time. But it's because men have realized that no matter how many miracles they work, nobody is ever going to appreciate daddy unless he's more like mommy.
Mm.
So, in addition to... it's true. In addition to whatever miracles he works as daddy, he must also be like mommy. Otherwise, he will grow up and his kids will just never understand or appreciate the role he played in their lives.
Ochami Kwame, I'll come to you, but when you say daddy must be like mommy, what do you mean, really?
What I mean is, the things that we saw our mothers do and consider to be miracles, our fathers have to do the same. So,
like the hugs?
Yes, you have to be there. You have to give me hugs. You have to soothe me when I'm hurt, I'm in pain. You have to play with me. You have to sit with me. You have to do all the things that in the past our mothers did traditionally and we considered to be miraculous. You have to cook my favorite food for me. You have to do things that will...
isn't that also dangerous? Because, you know, for a lot of families, the good cop, bad cop concept is what they've used to raise their kids.
Yes, and I tell you it works.
If you go that way and daddy has to now be like mommy, who's now going to play a good cop,
George,
bad
I
cop?
George, I tell you, you are right.
Yeah.
The problem is that no child, I say no child, that's a big generalization.
Yeah.
But children just will not consider daddy to be as close to them as mommy.
Yeah, maybe daddy should.
They just
learn,
won't.
Maybe the dad should learn to accept that.
Let me come. we've been joined by today. I'm just a spectator on this show because this is really very interesting. Having daddies share their own experiences, you know. We've been joined by Ochami Kwame. Bra Kwame, you're welcome.
Thank you, Baba.
Great. So, what's so difficult about adding a bit more emotions to what daddies do? Because yes, look, who cares? I don't think there is any child out there, like Kojo rightly said, who cares how you pay school fees? Because here's the thing, the child doesn't even want to go to school. Because I mean, at some age, you don't understand why you have to go to school. And you're going and you are crying and you want to be home. You think you've been abandoned somewhere. And this is what daddy is breaking his back to go and look for money to go and pay and to go and abandon me somewhere. By the time school is closing, mommy is there, comes to take me, hug me, take me home. That is what a child needs and wants. So how difficult is it to play that role and still be a bit more emotional and present for your child?
So I understand the question to be, how difficult is it for a masculine figure in the home to also add on the responsibility of being feminine? That is the question.
To shower the child love the way he or she wants it.
It is very difficult because the mind works in patterns. and the easier or the easy route for the mind is recognizable or recognized patterns. So if through evolutionary memory, the male figure has been programmed and reprogrammed to provide and protect consistently, it is difficult for him to provide, protect, and now also come and nurture, because it is not in nature.
For a man to nurture.
Yes, I have never seen a male snake with its children following. I have never seen
a lion
with its children. It wants to eat its children so that they don't grow up to compete with him over the wife.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've never seen a male monkey with its children following. In nature, I've never seen a cock fighting off the snake so that it will not eat its eggs.
Charlie.
It is the natural responsibility of the feminine energy. So how difficult is it for the baboon or the gorilla that is leading the group to now come and fight off the lion trying to eat the group, and then still pick the baby and pamper it? That is the question.
I suppose.
What Kwame is saying is that life is gradually making men women and women men.
Exactly.
If we are not careful, that's where we are.
So let us, because for us to be able to see, we need to compare something. And since we are in nature, let us just go look at our relatives. Just look at the monkeys. You see that the male's responsibility as a monkey, as a male monkey and a male human being, they are the same. And therefore, just as my brother said, evolution is trying to reverse the process. And I do not know, I've not read the literature on whether the monkey baby is more attached to the mother or respects the father for all the protective work that it does. I don't know. However, I want to believe that whether my child grows up to accept that I'm running around, I wake up in the morning, I'm gone.
I
left the house today at 5 o'clock. So I wake up in the morning, I'm gone. I don't come back until 9 or 10. I'm tired. You know, whether he's going to grow up to appreciate it or not, I really don't care anymore. Because I've come to see that I am just doing my bit. Appreciation of my bit, I leave it to the kid for him to decide whether he spends so much time with the mother, so he loves the mother more. On Father's Day, he should bring me a singlet and build a house for the mother.
You are okay.
I am okay. I am okay because I have come to accept that it is my role to protect.
And to provide.
And to provide. It is my wife's role to nurture. You know, and it is the child's role, if the child is a male, to grow up and follow the same or face the same fate I face. It's as my father said,
there's no problem around that for you.
No, not at all. I'm just doing my bit. I'm happy to play my role, knowing that I have played my role. For my children to become 25. His frontal cortex is complete. He now has complete understanding of what social order norms and taboos are. Then he has come now to see Sesena Grone form. I looked at my father, as my father used to be an accountant. So he will go to around Cape Coast, Fantenya and Kumase. They used to audit rural banks. So he'll be gone for a week and a half. And then when he comes home, my mother has a list of all the things we have done wrong, written down.
Of you, what you That's people right. have done
yes,
wrong.
Yes, all five of us, what we have done wrong. It's Upapa Babeto. Upapa Babeto. So all the things that we've done wrong. So for that weekend, that old boy has gone to look for money. This woman has weaponized her actions and used it against him. So he takes the list and give whips. So for a long period of time, he now, apart from the fact that he's absent, is now seen as the whipping man. So this guy is almost always gone. And when he comes, he's always associated with pain.
Oh,
so you start even looking forward to him leaving.
Exactly. You wanted him to go.
You start even looking forward to him leaving.
No. Yes.
But you see, in the same, because for someone like me,
but you only realize it when you have become a
precisely.
So I am growing up thinking, this guy. So like Freud said in the Oedipus complex.
Yeah.
That's that the male child will grow up, fall in love with their mother and compete with their father.
Yeah.
It's happening.
The gods are not to blame.
Yes, unless it gets to the point where you also become a father, then you see, and I want to find my father to apologize to him for the way I saw him. He died when I was 22.
Mm. Oh, Jesus. George, yes. USA.
Yes. Before the frontal cortex was fully formed.
Same thing, yeah? And it goes back to what I was saying, the good cop, bad cop thing. Because in my house, it was important. We needed to establish an element of fear. You understand? In my house today,
somebody had to be feared.
Yeah, somebody had to be feared. Mm. Because it's even biblical. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Everybody needs to have, Uncle Ibo will say, you need to have somebody that you be accountable to.
Mm. Yeah.
Let us put fear in quote here. Maybe that lists and that whipping is what has blessed Ghana with one of the most responsible, most talented, most educated.
But he didn't know it then when he was a child.
He didn't know. You understand?
Yeah.
Because in my house as well, my mom never caned me. In fact, my dad never even touched me. But just the idea of ke u papa ba ma kele. Just that idea. When daddy comes, I'll tell him.
Mm.
Out of line. Because it had been, but really, sitting back and thinking, my dad never really caned me. Mm. But the look and the stern voice, the nature, the way he would speak, Charlie, you'd align.
Yeah.
You'd align.
I am so learning don't you need that from you guys
element? Yes, I think you need that element of fear. Is that element of fear a bad thing?
But it shouldn't be weaponized.
That's the problem.
That is the problem.
Let me tell you.
It must not be weaponized against the man playing the role. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So the what you shouldn't have is a mother who takes advantage of the fact that you are the boogeyman.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And consistently makes you the bad guy so that she looks good.
But that is right? you know that she's not doing this consciously, right?
Well, we don't know. let me say something. Let me say something about my unique situation.
Please, I need help in the studio.
Let me say something about my unique situation, because unlike my two brothers, my child's mother and I are not together. Now, for some reason, I think that has turned out quite well. I mean, he has an amazing mother. Mm-hmm. His mother would do anything for him, right? And she's one of the, no matter what we ever disagreed on, the one thing we always agree on is what's best for him, our son. So in some ways I've been lucky.
Yeah.
She doesn't see any advantage in making me look bad.
Yeah.
In our son's eyes.
Mm.
But she also understands how much my son looks up to me and wants to please me.
Yeah.
So she uses it the same way as our parents use the, when your father comes.
I'll tell him.
Uh-huh. She uses the same thing. Mm. So if he does something or he doesn't make a good choice, she asks him, what would your father think of this?
Mm. Okay.
And that aligns him.
Okay. Mm.
You see, and also because we're not in the same home where one would have to be good cop and bad cop at all times, because I get him for certain times and then his mother gets him for other times. So while he's with me, I need to be both good cop and bad cop.
Yeah.
Right? He needs the balance at all times. His mother needs to do the same.
Mm.
You see, so in a certain strange way, just because we are aligned when it comes to parenting him,
mm-hmm.
it has worked out better. Nobody is weaponizing my role against me. Mm-hmm. We found some very interesting way of balancing it so that he feels a closeness to both of his parents. But I can't now come and advise everybody that get divorced I can't give that advice.
But in certain cases the divorce worsens it. Yes. In many cases,
Yes. In many cases.
Yes. I mean, if you're not lucky enough to be married to someone who prioritizes your child just as much as you did, then when you get divorced, the child is only an accessory with which she can get back at you.
Exactly. And that is what it is.
So, I mean, nobody comes out alive.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So, on the note on which it ended, because I was going to ask that question when Ochabe Kwame was talking. So what is happening in our homes, you know? Is it that, that's how come I mentioned, are we doing this unconsciously where the father is playing his role? He's doing the things he has to do, you know? He'll have to wake up, go out, look for money, and do all the things that he has to do. Now, women are working too. They're bringing in some money too, helping. So the women are playing both roles as well, you know, bringing in money and also nurturing. And we're expecting same of the men. Is it that we're not working together as parents to ensure that the children don't end up feeling like one person loves me more than the other? Are we not presenting a unified front to make them realize that the roles are supposed to be complementary? What are we doing wrong in our homes? Because I'm listening to the three of you. What seems to be happening now? What happened then? And now understanding a few things that, okay, when daddy was disciplining you in the past, it wasn't that he didn't love you. Today you would wake up to realize that, look, all that shaped me. But until today, you thought he was a bad man.
Yeah, completely.
He's not home. He's always not home. Daddy's always not home. But what is he doing? You've forgotten that there are certain things you need that he will have to be the one providing. And obviously, maybe the reasons why he's not home. But at that point, what you need is a daddy who is home, probably driving you around, playing with you, fooling with you and all that, and you're not getting it. So for you, my father is not present. But he's doing other things to make sure that you're surviving. So what are we not doing right to make our children realize that your father being away and me being here is supposed to be complementary, and not you seeing him as a father who is not, you know, present or not a good father? What are we not doing right?
Whose question?
And for all of you. I'm happy this question is coming to you, the men, because you are the leaders of the home. So what are we not doing right? And what are you not helping us align properly in the home so that we stop this, I love mommy more than I love daddy thing?
Adam, I think the way kids react or accept or choose to love or otherwise, whatever, I think cannot be controlled by any parent. What do I mean? Going back to the same thing, like Kuju said, you'd wake up, it's a day to school and his uniforms and everything. The night before school, I would go to my dad and he brings out this fat check. There was 11. We were 11.
Hey.
Yeah. Numia were 11.
At that way.
And then he would just be signing fees.
For
signing,
everybody.
Signing. But the same thing Kuju said. I felt it was just his responsibility.
Yeah, just normal.
I love my mom more for the shittle. You know, I got a nickname in Fansman School. That was Archibald. He would always call me Mpatwa because Mpatwa, those small fish.
They were
and
in
all
the
that. Yeah.
You got to chew on it.
Yeah, I loved the shito more. And you know, my dad would probably also be part of the problem. My dad was working for the Ghana Oil Company Limited at the time. And anytime he's going to Takrady, he would pass through Fansman School.
Okay.
And when sometimes he wouldn't even step out of the car.
Okay.
You know, he just send for me, and then I'll go, and then he'll leave something small, and I'll say, oh, that's Isaiah, don't worry, your mother will come and visit you on Saturday or Sunday or something. So he shifted that affection that I wanted. Like Kujo said, I would have loved a hug. I would have
loved forget that he was enabling mommy to come and visit you.
I did not appreciate it that way.
Wow.
I didn't see that part. You know, I was like, oh, Charlie, but this man, who was this? Then he was gone. Then
mom
would
come. Stiff.
When mom comes, then we'll sit, we'll chat. Mom would ask me how school is, and I'll be happy and all that. You understand? But he was the one enabling mommy to come. He was the one who would make everything needed. You know, he would provide everything
I feel
that was
sad
needed.
At this, though.
But I couldn't control it. When my mom died, I cried more than when my dad died.
I'm not sure you remember.
I do.
I had to sack you from work.
You know, I when my mom died, I broke.
He's the one that's work. He said
you know, I needed to. It was difficult. You understand?
Oh,
so I don't
Lord.
Think we can control what kids feel. And science has told us that naturally, you mentioned the Oedipus complex, baby girls will love their daddies more no matter what. And it's something that I realize. I know how my sisters reacted to my dad and all that. I compared to my mom and all that. But I was crazy about my mom. So maybe it was not really about what they did or what they didn't do. I think that's just nature.
Yes, but George, so that's how come I am asking. Now we have grown and have realized that these roles apparently are very complementary.
Yes,
take daddy out and mommy may not be able to, I mean, probably may not have been able to give you that much. You understand?
Yeah.
Because she didn't have to go to work for a week somewhere. And if she's coming to visit you, then she it's you she's coming to.
Exactly.
So she has all the time to come and sit with you and chat. And again, we're realizing that at the time, she was being enabled by daddy.
Yeah.
And these things are playing out today in most homes again. So how are we making our children? Of course, you said rightly that we can't force what they feel.
You can't.
But how are we presenting the situation to them? To let them know that these roles are complementary.
Well, I think that the missing ingredient in this whole soup is love.
Okay.
True love.
With the couples?
True love with everyone in life. Complete love. Where a person, you know, love is not just an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
It is a commitment to see that someone blossoms no matter what.
Yeah.
Irrespective of what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some more.
Exactly. Once there's true love in the home, and I don't mean romantic, amorous love, true love.
Yeah.
What Kojo was describing was that I am, my wife and I are no longer together, but she doesn't weaponize my masculine energy. That is love, even though they are not together. So that's the type of respect, like intentional commitment to make sure that we are no longer together or we are together, but each one will thrive. We are no longer together or we are together. Therefore, our children will grow up to know what love is, and I will not use it against you, or I will not reprogram the child to see you as a boogeyman. You know, so what we, and for love to thrive, let's not even look at the interpersonal relations between our children and our wives. Let's look at the intrapersonal. Let's go inside. Inside you are all feminine and all masculine. Even in Kube, when you go to Cape Coast, we have a Ma Kube, we have a Mema Kube. The moon is considered to be a feminine energy. The sun is a masculine energy.
Interestingly, the
Emma Kube
is very hard.
Exactly. Emma harder. You know, a soft power like France. So the whole nature in itself, or the whole concept of love, is tilting or balancing on a scale of masculine and feminine. So what we are not doing is either we are not, because now there's no longer war. There are no longer lions coming to eat my children. There's no longer slave trade. So what I need to do, or what I'm doing as a dad, apart from physically finding money so that they can go to school, is also showing them how to think. And in that process of showing them how to think, giving the children the opportunity to, whether it's a boy, is to fall in love with his feminine side.
Because you have it.
Exactly. We all are 100% masculine, 100%. So this idea of social, all that is given to us from an outside agency. So it's to give this child to be able to look within himself or herself to fall in love with both sides so that child grows up to be balanced. So as the child is growing up as a balanced child, what I'm talking about is that I never tell my son that stop crying. We are be my jai soon. Where Jimmy Abua? Mensu, be mensu. I don't do that. But that's what they did to me. Exactly. By enforcing my masculine nature and strengthening it so hard that I neglect my feminine side.
Right.
Yeah, makes
sense. Or maybe rather with your own words, your nurturing side.
Exactly. You know, so what we are supposed to do at home is to give the children to express themselves without the presence of authority. Because truth is not the authority.
You know, authority is not the truth. Truth is the authority. And the true nature of truth is complete love, where a person will be able to observe within them. Now, once that child has found the nurturing side of themselves and also found the protective side of themselves and found the balance of love, when the father is gone, they know exactly what the father is doing.
And this is what you as parents...
You cannot weaponize his absence against him when he knows that he's going to grow up and become just like that.
This is so profound. And this is what we parents will have to instill in our children.
Yep.
Because they do not know it. We didn't get that. And so if daddy is not around, we take it that he is not around. And if daddy is there, who had the list? Your mother made a list.
Oh yeah, you make a list. You make a list.
And when he comes back to, he's coming to whip. But then we're not taught to realize that, and I've said this countless times, his absence was to help enable the family, and the whip was to straighten you, and all that together in the end will make you turn out to be the person you are.
True.
I do want with him for how?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, bro.
He who feels it.
I agree with Kwame's solution.
Seriously.
And while he was explaining it, I was thinking, okay, so why don't we do this?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that this is not happening?
Yes.
And
why does it seem like a fight?
And I realized something. I was very worried about saying controversial things. But I've realized that I'm sure it can't be avoided.
Truth is important.
So, it's because of entitlement.
Who is feeling entitled?
Let me explain.
Okay.
I'll tell you a story. There's a guy who I sometimes pay to pick up my son and take him. Someone we know very well and we're very comfortable with him. Pay him a couple of hundred CDs on a day when I'm not available or I'm out of town and my son needs to be, because that's my job.
Yeah.
His mother takes him to school. I send him home. Whether he's with me or with his mother, I send him home.
People have such a good arrangement.
Well, you have to think, you have to be deliberate about it.
Yeah.
So this guy, one day he called me and said, look, my car, I've had some problems with my car. I don't have money to fix it. I don't get a lot of work. So, you know, can you help me? Can you? He was lucky. You called me at a time when, So I helped. I gave him quite a substantial amount to help him sort out the car. After that, and he promised that, look, I will pick up your son
to offset the bill.
Yes, I thought that's a good arrangement. Yeah. Now, I didn't call him for a couple of months. I was able to pick up my son myself until I had an emergency and I called him. Picked up my son and I paid him.
And he took the money?
He thanked me. He took the money. Picked up my son again. I paid him. Now, the third time, after I picked up my son, I think his battery had died, so he didn't call me for his payment. But the following day, I was still out of town, so I asked him to pick up my son again. Now, when he picked up my son, I sent him the money for the fourth one. He called me and said, oh, boss.
The third one.
You forgot.
The last one.
The third one. Now, I don't blame him. I don't think he did anything wrong. Because he actually offered that he would clear the bill by me not paying him.
And you decided to pay.
I am the one who decided to pay him, thereby removing the arrangement that he had offered. So I don't blame him. But he felt entitled to ask for the money, even though he owes me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm bringing this into our relationships with our mothers and fathers at home. And the entitlement, I'm saying, is the reason why we don't do this. Look, what have we done? Throughout our evolution, every time women have said, no, we want it this way, we have said, okay.
Okay.
Every time women have said, no, let's change this, we have said, okay. We have accepted that they know best. So now we are in a world where actually, even to be a father, you don't decide it.
True.
No matter how badly a man wants to be a father, it's not up to him. He's not going to make himself a father. It's never up to the man.
How so, could you?
Well, let me explain. So if two people have relations and there is a pregnancy, if the woman decides that she doesn't want to be a mother,
I didn't see this angle coming in.
The law permits her to end that pregnancy.
And by that, you can't be a father.
It doesn't matter how badly the man wants to be a father. If the woman doesn't want to be a mother, the man will never become a father. The reverse is also true. If there is a pregnancy and the woman has decided, I want to be a mother, and the man has no plans of being a father, if the woman delivers the child, the minute the child exists, all of our laws say that the man has responsibilities towards that child. Whether you want to be a father or not, you are a father. So this role that we are playing, it is bestowed on us. No matter how much we wanted it, we didn't make it happen. Somebody made us fathers. Now that person feels entitled to ensure that things are done our way. No matter whether they owe us or we owe them, none of that matters. Whether we are doing our job, we are playing our role, it doesn't matter. There is a certain sense of entitlement that we have created because we said we will provide for you. We said we will protect you. We said it.
It's very debatable.
We said it. So once we said it, and they decided to take advantage of it, we have to understand that we have created that situation. So how do we reverse it? I think we need, look, we need to meet women at their point of need. Okay. They say, I want you to be more feminine.
More understanding, not more feminine.
More feminine. More feminine.
More feminine.
More feminine. More feminine. More feminine.
Ah, all of you.
Yeah.
All three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fact.
We all agree.
It's a fact.
Yeah, of course.
It's not just women asking for it too. It is a global consensus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That men must.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But it's true.
Absolutely.
Now.
Uh-huh.
there you go. Thank you for confirming.
Let me ask you, what does it hurt?
Adam.
To be more feminine.
Okay, let me ask you.
What does it hurt to be protective, provide, and still be sweet? What does it hurt?
Okay, Adam. But you see, let me demonstrate.
Yes.
So, your husband. Imagine that every time he comes back from work. And somebody has upset him. The minute he walks in through the door and you ask him, how was your day? He bursts into tears.
Oh! I can imagine what my
daily is, every emotion affects him the way it affects you.
Daddy, what is this drama?
No, will you even find him attractive? Oh, if the man is just a pool of tears every day.
But the woman is not a pool of tears every day.
I'm not saying that.
But we're not saying about that. Being more feminine. And
precisely.
You're
so
giving.
Yes, I'm explaining to you.
Okay, let me.
That actually, the more feminine a man is, the less attractive he is.
Oh, it's a fact.
It's a fact, and there's a reason why it is that way. So if you don't let a man, you see, why would you have a team and not allow everybody to play to their strengths and insist that everyone should do everything that everybody else does?
We're not
communists.
We're not saying that you should become more feminine than you being masculine. We're just saying that. That's how come I don't want to find the balance and be more understanding.
But Adam, this is where this is the last thing I'll say on this.
How
much more?
This is the last thing I'll say.
You see, for me, I think the problem is that, you know, where Kojo started, which is very apt, very, very true. The need, and Ochame Kwame also confirmed it. What we needed to do as men that sort of defined us, you know, protect, you know, provide, right, and all of that. Now the concept of the enemy against the family has changed. You're no longer protecting those children against lions and snakes and going to war and fighting other people. You're fighting against items like these.
Yeah.
These tablets and stuff, and what is on social media, and all this concept of LGBTQ, these are the things that you have to protect the children against.
That is what
you understand.
Now.
And it's a different kind of concept.
And they're more dangerous than lions.
Trust me, a lot more dangerous than lions. So if you're not going to still allow a man to be a man, you want a man to enter your space, and you're asking for more affection, more love. I don't understand what more love is. How much more love do you want from a man, for instance? You understand? A man is already working 4 or 5 jobs. You're making sure the things that you need.
George,
and
let me just ask you a simple question.
Yeah.
I mean, with the analogy you gave earlier. Yeah. For instance, your dad came by your school.
Yes, he did.
And he sat in the car. He didn't even get
out. No, he didn't get out.
And all he did was give you a few notes and drove off and said your mom will come and visit you.
Yes.
Wouldn't you have loved it better if he stepped out of that car, gave you a hug, spent just about 10 minutes to ask you how school is
let me answer something that happened
Kwame, go ahead.
Something that happened last night at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. My son just finished his AS levels, so he and his friends met at a place at East Legon. Mm-hmm. To go and eat dinner.
Okay.
So when I got down from the car, my son is only 15. All his classmates are 18, 19. You know, so I wanted to protect him. So I got down and put him in the elevator. Before we got out of the elevator, he said, "I have seen it. Please don't follow me. Don't disturb my swag.
That's right.
I beg you. That's go back. True. I want to be seen to be macho." So, see, as a woman in your primal woman state, you think that touching the child and doing this and doing that is what makes the child. If it's a
your
girl,
daughter would have
your daughter would have loved it.
That is why I'm going. So it is not. he told me to get back before they see me with him.
Look,
my presence with him and his friends is disturbing his swag.
Adam, let me ask you this. Look, we are all talking about how, in addition to playing his traditional role, a man must also be a little bit more feminine. A little bit more feminine. Otherwise, we can't love him.
Oh. We didn't say that.
That is why tomorrow's Father's Day will be as dry as.
Thank you. Otherwise, we can't. let me make this point, please. Otherwise, we can't love him. But have you ever heard anyone say to a housewife that if you don't go out and work so that you can also be a little bit more masculine, we can't love you?
Could you plenty?
Please.
Nobody has ever said to a working wife like you or my wife.
Look, nobody ever says to a mother that you need to be more like a man, otherwise we can't love you.
Yeah.
We think that when you play your role as a mother, it's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Just be a woman. It's enough.
Okay.
Just be feminine. It's enough.
Now,
but as for men, we have to be both.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we don't hit the mark.
No. Now, two questions. What is being...
Okay, you didn't
I wanted to, yes.
Yes,
for the two questions. Adam, let's be honest.
Yeah, you didn't answer my question.
Yes. No. I needed to ask you one. Be honest yourself.
Okay.
As lead of this Joy Cluster team, how compare the energies you put into Mother's Day with the energies you put into Father's.
Thank you.
Do you want me to answer that?
Yes.
Okay. See, fathers have bailed out on us a million times.
Bailed out how?
Okay. So you organize Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of the Father's Day, we did it. It was clashing with one of your football matches. And so we planned a whole Father's Day event with grills and drinks and everything, giant screens. Oh, daddy's come out, blah, 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 blah. That's not what they want to do. And so over the time, I mean, we've tried several things. And the fathers themselves, they don't appreciate it as much, because they tell you that, like you're saying, we're just, you know, playing our roles and we're just doing what we have to do. So if you don't even do it, cry, it doesn't matter. But you guys, you, Kojo, George Quay, we organized one event for fathers. Remember?
I do remember.
The Real Daddy
Code. Yes, the Real Daddy Conversation with Mark Dunn.
Let me ask you again. When we asked fathers to send in entries, how many did? Because they think all those celebration and all those things are.
We asked people to send in entries about their fathers.
It was for the fathers.
That's the problem.
You
because when it comes to mothers, we say that people should send in entries about their mothers. But when it comes to fathers, we should send in our own entries.
Come and blow our own trumpet.
Get out of the galamsey. Light a pray. I should stop driving the truck that I'm driving to pay my children. Come and write a story about myself so that Joy will celebrate me.
You've got
three busy fathers here.
We are here.
That's how come I said from the beginning that Daniela, please bring their gifts already. we have hampers to celebrate you. You're here. We're not just looking at you like that. Hefzis gave us hampers bring to you. That year, mothers sent in their entries as well to share with us their punks of labor. Mm-hmm. So we do different things at different times. You understand? I meant it. You know, I know your fathers. You're doing so well. We meant it. It's not a joke at all.
Oh, yes.
And this
Are you guys going to now keep quiet?
This is bribery.
And these ones are not singlets and boxes. You know.
Oh, wow.
We spoke to Hefzis and then you know she came up with all of these and you know, and because we love you as fathers, I had to go there this dawn to go and pick up these items. Just so you have to know we appreciate you and we love you so much. Now that you want us to be making all the noise, we are saying that, look, when we want to make noise about Father's Day and we want to celebrate fathers, we want you to be involved. Hey, Kofi Donko, one of these hampers, I'm sending it your way because Kofi has been touting me on social media and he's the only one. And then Father's Day, like from how many weeks ago, I'm watching what you're doing. Right, Kofi, you are a super father and we appreciate you. And I think that, look, we shouldn't be reserving these conversations just for occasions like this. Fathers for me are doing so much, you know, but I'm just thinking, so have we been doing wrong when we is it really wrong that we tell our children that I will talk to your father about what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Now it is beginning to sound like when you say that, then you are courting disaffection between father and child. But sometimes, like in Kojo's case, you not wanting to disappoint your father is also a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's also a thing. So two questions I wanted to ask you. How are you people making it work? Because I'm sure there are fathers out there who are listening to you and are probably feeling like, I could have been here sharing my story. I could do better. We know you're busy and all that. But do you not make time for your children and your families? You do.
We do. Yeah, we do.
How practically, what are some of the things you put in place to make time?
Let me talk about maybe just three of mine, then you can add the rest.
Okay.
The first one is, I have told my son and mm-hmm. my daughter that I'm not a superman.
Okay.
I share with them my triumphs and my failures as well.
Mm.
So they are beginning to see me more as a human being instead of
a superman,
a provider
or a protector
or a finance minister, a production manager. You know, so I when I fall, I tell them completely.
Mm.
And we have a complete conversation about why I fail. And I go to them for advice and they advise me. So from that time when I started doing that, they see me more as a human being than a soldier man.
Mm.
That's one. Two, I go to the gym with them on weekends.
Okay.
I do physical, masculine things with them. And use it as an opportunity to let them see what the standard is and the distance between the standard and the apex, the threshold, you know. So because of that, I tell them I'm going to do 20 of these reps. When I'm not able to hit it, we laugh at it together and say that you have to do two more.
Mm.
So when I'm telling them that 80% is not enough, give me 95. It's the same concept. You know, so I use my hustle to bring them up to scratch. The other thing that I do is that I've tried my best to communicate more with them. So we're having conversation. I found out what their hobbies are.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy.
It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
I realize they want to watch movies and things with me on weekend, on Friday nights when they won't go to school. Yeah. You know, so I make the time to make that happen. So today, from here, I'm going to the EMY.
The expo.
Bazaar. My children are coming at 10 to come and sell boxer shorts, books, real estate. You know, so I take them along on their own vacation. Yesterday I was with them the whole day. Today I'm with them for the whole of the vacation. At least 3 days out of the week, I am going to let them see my hustle. Not that I want anything from them, but I want my daughter to be able to appreciate her husband in the future. I want my son to see what's ahead of him. So these are some of the things that I am doing personally to improve
the
child-father
connection. Beautiful.
But the most important thing that I do to sort of get affection from my children is that to love their mother. And treat her with complete respect when they are watching. And also sometimes when they are not watching. But when they see, for a child, when a child sees that you have a great relationship with the mother and that you are treating the mother with respect, two things are happening. They are seeing what the standard is, and they are loving you more because naturally they love the mother. Yeah. Exactly. So if you also love the mother, it makes one big unit. Exactly. So these are some of the things I'm doing.
That is so cute. Yeah. So you see, I planned for you. I mean, Achadjefie has also brought fruit baskets.
Oh.
But then I think you guys will be kind enough for us to share with other fathers, right?
Yes.
If you have we can give the fruit out.
Absolutely.
So we'll activate the phone lines very soon. And then, you know, one or two people can call. You can call and get a fruit basket for, you know, daddy as well. And that's from Achadjefie. And your hampers are from, you know, Hefsis. I'll put their contacts out before we go. George.
Yes. I mean, being a public figure and a father is not easy. Especially the world, now that the world is becoming smaller each and every single day. And you know, our kids are internet savvy. They are always in the digital space. And even if you cough, it's out there. So for me, the first and most important thing is to ensure that they don't get to read rubbish, quote unquote. That daddy has done this, daddy has done that, daddy has gotten into it. That is very important for me. So for them, you have to align and live a certain kind of life publicly. It is very important. So that every time they pick up something, because my kids come home and say, daddy, my friend said they saw you on TV. They said they heard you on radio. My teacher said that. So it is important that you live a certain kind of life. That for me is the first and most important thing, because you do not want your kids being told that, and they say your daddy has gone to do this and your daddy has gone to do
I
that
know,
and
right?
The negatives, it would break them.
That's true.
They may not be able to discuss it at home, they may not be, but it would end, it would be some sort of a trauma every time they are out there and their friends are saying this about. So once you're a public figure and you're a parent, it becomes even more important to align properly and do the right thing. That for me is one. Two, I like to disappoint them from time to time, because disappointment is a part of life. You will be disappointed. So sometimes I make promises and deliberately break them. Let them feel the pain, let them feel the hurt, let them learn. I mean, how do these biologists create vaccines and stuff for the diseases that we suffer? By using the same disease. So I hear that's how. So for instance, do you want to create a vaccine for malaria? They use the malaria because they said when they put it in you, your immune system learns to fight it and blah blah blah. So they need to learn, they need to learn to build that shock. They need to understand that this is disappointment and this is how it feels like. Then you make it up to them. You understand? Mm. So they need to learn some of these things. And then one thing I agree with Ochemeko, I mean, total respect. And there are things, times that my kids will come to me, Daddy, we want, they've asked their mom already.
Mm.
Daddy and mommy has said no. Then they'll come to me. So I have learned
to knock your heads together.
It doesn't matter what it is. Every time they come to me with something, the first thing I ask is, have you asked mommy? Or ask mommy. Have you asked mommy? I've made it. But then they'll go, but you're the head of the home. Anytime that response comes, I know they've asked already and gotten a no. I said, yes, I'm the head of the home, all right, but mommy is the commander of the ship. She's the captain of the ship. You know, and then you have to explain to them. So, you know, that, and then I'll find out from them, okay, what is it that they want? Why, blah, blah, blah. Then we'll have a discussion and then we'll find a solution and move on. So for me, being a public figure, making sure that whatever they hear about you is relevant, it is key, it is not negative. You may not be able to control it all the time. Somebody can wake up and spew some garbage, some lies about you, but you need to live in a way that they themselves would even be able to tell what a lie is, when it's a lie. You understand? And then the concept of disappointment is key for me, because disappointment is a part of life and it can break people. So you need to insulate them and help them understand that this will happen to you. When it happens, this is how you have to deal with it, and then you move on. And then the other one is to always let them know that, look, I may be the head of the home, but mommy is the one piloting this plane. So we cannot do without her. She's the most important figure in the house, and we have to run everything by mommy.
Wow.
Yeah.
These fathers are deep. We're going to compile all of these and, you know, put them on news cards and quote cards and put out there, because some fathers may need them.
But
I have become very...
From
Yeah, he was big man. I'm saving it for the last... Before Kojo comes in and before I take your final words... Truly, a father's love and his presence is irreplaceable. Father's Day is indeed a perfect occasion to express our gratitude and appreciation to our fathers. This Sunday, 16th June, is a day to celebrate our fathers and to tell them how much we appreciate their impact on our lives. So join us at the Best Western Plaza Accra Beach Hotel as we create an unforgettable experience like never before, from a wide range of local and continental dishes, spectacular live band performances, raffle draw, photo shoots, and many other fun moments with Dad at a cool rate of only 300 Ghana cedis per head. Half price for kids and a special discount for group bookings. For table reservations and inquiries, please call 054-840-2224 or 0551-700079. This event is proudly sponsored by Cup Farm Ghana Limited and EAK Clothing. Others, you tell them to come and dance and win a friend is saying clothing and tickets. Loosen up, be in touch with your feminine side so that you can dance with your children and do musical chairs. Now, the joy of every parent is to see their children grow healthy and become more intelligent and physically fit. And to achieve this desire, every parent needs to ensure that their children are given nutritious foods and has the essential nutrients which can promote their well-being. One of the best of such nutritious foods is Vitamilk soy milk drink. Vitamilk is made from whole grain soybeans, which is a good source of plant protein, and it is enriched with omega 3, 6, and 9, calcium, and the essential nutrients and multivitamins recommended for daily living. Vitamilk has no artificial coloring, no artificial flavorings, and no preservatives. Choose Vitamilk Champ for your children, because the protein, calcium, and omega 3, 6, and 9 in Vitamilk Champ has proven to help your adorable children grow smart.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.